everyone. Welcome to the Persuasion Influence Negotiation Call. Happens every Wednesday. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Welcome to the First Timers. It is being recorded. We'll also be talking about a little bit about self-persuasion and a few other topics based on your questions and what I've been studying, give you the cutting-edge techniques. The goal, of course, is to spend 15 or so minutes on an actual tool. We're going to talk about how to apply it, and then we will take questions. I'm lucky to be here today. I was on a delayed flight into JFK. I just landed, so if you hear a lot of background noise, it's because I'm not in a secure location. So break in at any time if you have any questions. That's what this is all about. Remember, as persuaders, you are problem solvers. You're there to solve problems. Now, you have to take a look at your product, your service, and try to figure out what problem does it solve. There's a variety of problems out there. It doesn't always seem solve the same problems for the same person. It might, but a lot of times it could be a little bit different, and we need to be able to kind of put that in perspective. So I want to take a big chunk of self-persuasion and persuasion, because the way you persuade yourself is about the same way you persuade other people. So I'm going to kind of take it, shoot right down the middle. You see, when you have people look at your product or service, they're looking for a solution. So let's kind of back up and take a look at. There's something missing in their life. There's something they want to gain in their life, something that inspires them, something that's given them, could even be desperation, for example. So let me give you six different areas that your product, your service could fulfill. Might be a combination, but that's the type of thing they're looking for as a solution. Now, let me shoot down the middle here and talk about self-persuasion for a while, because you also need the same six areas in your life fulfilled. If not, you fill a void. In fact, the question is, have you ever felt, and it could be right now, you don't have to answer out loud, like your life was out of whack, something wasn't quite right, felt like you were driving around with the emergency brake on, didn't have a lot of energy? It's usually because you're missing one of these six areas, or you're neglecting one of these six areas. And so as we shoot down the middle, I want you to take a look at, okay, your life. If you're feeling out of whack, something's not quite right, which area is it that you need to work on? And then, of course, take a look at your product or service and see which area, or, of course, areas does your product fulfill? And we'll talk a little about that here at the end. So let's make that list. There are six of them. Hopefully you are ready. You've got your notepads out. Let us talk about it. Now, the first one is financial. A lot of products fulfill a financial need. That could be a home-based business. That could be a variety of different things. The key thing to realize about these six areas is that if you neglect one, it will affect every aspect of your life. Now, when you can't pay the bills, that affects your relationships, that affects your health, that affects a lot of different aspects of your life, that physical, the financial aspect. You're afraid to pick up the phone, afraid to go to the mailbox. And so maybe two things here. Remember, maybe that's the part that's holding you back, that's sucking the life out of you, is financial. So does your product or service fulfill a financial need? Does it help people make more money? Does it help them save money? That's a big one for a lot of people as they get stuck on finances. So, divorce, all these things can be caused by finance. So that's the first one. That's the first area, finance. The second one, write this down, is physical. How you feel physically. Does your product or service increase someone's health? Does it give more energy? Does it make them sleep better? Does it make them more vibrant, I guess is a word we can use? Does it do something along those physical? Does your product or service do that? Does it fulfill that need? Now, as you look at yourself personally, physical. When you don't feel well, that affects every aspect of your life. We call this life alignment. Because if one of these areas is out of whack, it's going to throw everything else out of whack. So when your health is out of whack, when you have no energy, when you are always tired, it's going to affect your ability to make money. It's going to affect your relationships. It's going to affect every aspect of your life. So just like you have a plan to make money, you need to have a health plan. Now, should exercise? Now, a lot of people say they don't have time, but the reality is exercise gives you more time. Okay? You live longer, you sleep less, you think better, you accomplish more. When I was doing study for the laws of charisma, it was interesting that people that have charisma had energy, they were healthy, they helped other people feel energy, there's just something about that. So you radiate some things differently, you attract better people in life. You need a health plan, you're probably taking nutritionals, you need to be exercising, you probably need to watch what you eat. We can go down that list. I'll let you decide what that is, but is the health holding you back? And then on the flip side, is that what fulfills a need in your prospect, your product or service? So that was number two. So we've talked about financial. We've talked about physical. And then the next one we need to talk about is intellectual. Does your product or service fulfill intellectual need, like a school, a university, personal development? Is it a seminar? Is it a webinar? People need to learn. Is that the need fulfills? Are you teaching them something that they want to learn, they need to learn, they hope to learn? Are you just teaching something that's fun to learn, like knitting or pet daycare or something? Now, here's the interesting thing about intellectual. As we talk about your personal life, you need to have a personal development program. Here's what a Harvard study shows. Those that are learning and growing every day, they're more optimistic about life. They're more enthusiastic about where they're going, what they're going to accomplish. But those who do not learn and grow every day become very negative, pessimistic, doubtful about themselves and their future. So when you look at your own personal self, your own personal motivation, your own life alignment, you need to make sure you have at least 30 minutes a day dedicated to either reading the books, listening to the audios in your car, to going to having mentors, to going to seminars, whatever it is. Don't fall into the trap that you'll figure it out on your own. That's not what it's all about. Successful people go out and know that every challenge you face, someone's already figured it out and you can learn from them. But it's also very motivating, and it's also the shortcut to success, but it also does something to you on the inside. Now, the interesting thing is the people that are watching TV all day and have no personal development program, they think they know everything. And the people that are always learning are realizing they have a lot to learn. You know, turn the TV off, at least for the next 6-12 months. I love what my early mentor Jim Rohn said. He says, you want to spend a day at the beach or own a piece of the beach, right? You want to spend a day shopping or own a shopping mall. The number one thing in successful people is delayed gratification. If you can delay the entertainment for a little while, just kind of focus on your personal development, you'll see a huge difference, not only in motivation, how you feel yourself about yourself, but you'll get the solutions and you will not spin your wheels. So that would be the one as far as intellectual. The next one we notice is spiritual. We all have a spiritual side to us. Now, we all define it differently. What does that mean to you? Well, you kind of have to take a look at that. But the reality is all the experts agree we have a spiritual side. 95% of people believe there's some type of higher power. I'm not going to define it for you. Is it organized religion? Is it getting back to nature? Is it meditation? But you need to spend some time there and figure out what does that mean? Because people who do that are more grounded, more focused, or more aligned. That might be the area that you're neglecting. Now, the one area that we could probably all agree on that's part of your spiritual side is learning to serve others, learning to help others. If you're feeling depressed all the time, you're thinking about yourself too much, go to the soup kitchen, volunteer at the hospital. It does more for you than it does for them. It's part of your spiritual side, giving money to a charity, donating times, pulling over and helping somebody else, looking for opportunities to serve others. It matters, and that is part of you. If you neglect that, it'll affect your health, it'll affect your relationships, it'll affect every aspect of your life. Again, you can define what that spirituality means to you, but the one thing we can all agree on is giving back, helping out, making the world a better place. When you serve somebody, depression goes out the door, and again, it does more for you than it does for other people. There's a spiritual side. That might be the side you're neglecting. Now realize you're not spending equal time on each one of these. The first one I mentioned was financial. You're probably spending 10 times more time on the financial than the spiritual. What I'm saying is you still need to spend some time there. You decide what that is, if that's the area that you feel like you are neglecting. All right. So the next one is social. We are social creatures. Your greatest happiness will come from your relationships. Your greatest sorrow will come from your relationships. So does your product or service bring people together as a group? Does it promote relationships? Does it make people feel happier? Is it a social side? Now, personally, we need that interaction. In fact, as you look at millionaires, I interview millionaires, you've heard the term million-dollar Rolodex. They know a lot more people than the average person. They stay in contact with them. They know them. They know what they do. They have these relationships. Because you look at every challenge or problem, you need to know have someone in your network that can solve that problem, that you can go to, that you can talk to. Social is a big part of our success. We've all been stung in our relationships. We can't just give up because we need those relationships, A, for our happiness, B, to be aligned, and C, the more people we know, the more successful you're going to be. The more money people have, the more people they know, the more relationships that they have. It's very rare to meet a rich hermit. In fact, you can take a hardened prisoner in prison. Okay, they're in prison. They've been there for murder, for example. The worst punishment you can give a prisoner, isn't this interesting, is solitary confinement. You think they would love their own room. No. We can't last longer than a couple days without that interaction. We think we're doing okay, but we need that interaction. There's something about our relationships, the people that we know. So there's twofold here. Our personal relationships, the people that are close to us, our family and friends, and then there's our business associates. One of the number one things we do to leverage yourself to make more money is get to know more people. Everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. Everybody you meet can teach you something. I mean, you can meet the world's greatest failure, and you can learn from them. Ask them what they did and do the opposite. So there's something about those relationships that is spiritual. Last one. I think we get them all here. Let's see, make sure we have them all here, is emotional. Let me just go down that. We'll go down that list here again in a second. Emotions. Does your product or service fulfill an emotional need? It could be pride. It could be jealousy. It could be there's a variety of emotions. Is it happiness? You have to ask yourself, why do people go to Disneyland? Is it out of guilt for some parents? Is it out of joy? What is the emotional thing that it fulfills? What are the emotions that your product or service fulfills? Now, on the flip side, on your personal self, we are emotional creatures. In fact, we can't even tell the difference between logic and emotion. The studies show time and time again, people don't know. Remember, 95% of persuasion, subconscious trigger, that's emotion. I've told you the study where they took the students and they divide them in half. Say, okay, here's the controversial topic. You can only use logic. You can only use emotion. So they recorded these presentations. And then they recorded them with only logic or only emotion. They showed other students and asked them, okay, is this logical or emotional? And they're all over the map. They couldn't figure it out until they asked one more question. Anyone know what the question was? Do you agree or disagree? And here's what they found. When they agreed with this message, okay, they agreed with it, they felt it was a logical appeal. When they disagreed, they felt it was an emotional appeal. And that's what it came down to. We are emotional creatures. So if you're quick to anger, if you're always depressed, if you're always frustrated, your emotions are controlling you. You need to learn to control them. That is a big, big aspect of a success, is learning to control those emotions and understanding the emotions in other people. You've probably heard the term emotional intelligence before. Dr. Daniel Goleman talked about that, how that was so much more important than IQ. He called it EQ. And you have to understand, anger, for example, is a secondary emotion, meaning what you're angry about or what other people are angry about are usually two different things. Couples, for example, that get upset about toilet seats or toothpaste squeezing, there's other issues. That's just kind of how that's set up. There's just something about anger. So if you have a prospect that's angry, there's other things going on. Or understanding that frustration comes from an unmet expectations. So if you're frustrated with somebody or someone's frustrated with you, there's some expectations, spoken or unspoken, that has not been met. Anger's, and all these can really hurt your ability to persuade. If you're getting quick to anger, holding grudges, resentment. Resentment comes from the word sentir, which means to feel, which means you're rehashing or refilling your emotions. We should take classes on what your emotions mean, how do you know you're feeling them, and what to do about them, but most people have no idea. They say that feeling anger is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts somebody else. So you're drinking it and hoping it hurts somebody else. Now, in teaching negotiation, one of the first things that I teach is you keep your emotions at the door, because there's no room for emotions in negotiations. Because people are, quick to anger, and they bottle it up. And I think Buddy Hackett said it best. He says, I don't get angry anymore, because when I get angry, I get stuck at home, and whoever I was angry at is out dancing. Meaning, first of all, they probably didn't mean to make you angry. And second of all, if they're trying to make you angry, it's even a better reason not to get angry. I moved into a new neighborhood, and talked to a neighbor. I said, okay, who lives there? Who's there? Going back there. And she said, finally says, so-and-so lives there. We don't talk to them. I said, really? Why not? So, well, they did this and this, and they had this list of things that they did. And I said, let's go talk to him. So I kind of dragged her up there, and I said, hey, I'm your neighbor, do you know so-and-so? And she says, well, I haven't talked to you since this because you said this and this. And he said, I did? Wow, I'm sorry. Okay. 10 years or whatever it was of holding a grudge, you got to be careful. So as we look at what we talked about today, let me review them with you. Remember, this is twofold. Persuasion and self-persuasion are very similar, especially what we talked about today. You have to have life alignment. So here are the six areas. Physical, intellectual, spiritual, social, financial, emotional. So let's talk about the two areas here. Now, personally, if you're out of whack, something's not quite right, you're not feeling motivated, you're not tapped into your passion, you need to look at these six areas and circle your weakest link. You're not spending equal time on each, but you do need to spend time on each, hopefully a little bit every day, if not at least every week or every couple of days. So choose the one personally that's sucking the life out of it, that's pulling you down, because you cannot neglect one area and have it not affect every other aspect of your life. That's number one. Number two, as you look at your product or service, you need to take a look at these and kind of figure out, okay, which one of these, could be a couple, pick one or two, does my product or service fulfill? Is it a financial need? Is it emotional need? Is it a spiritual need? Is it a combination? Because that helps you become the problem solver and understand what their problem is. It'll help you write copy. It'll help you solve objections, because they have that void in their life too. So if it's a financial void, they're not making enough money, emotional, they're not spending enough time with their kids, that could be a social too, then you know how to prepare your presentation, you know how to customize to that person, then you can solve their problem. Okay? It's called life alignment. Those are the six areas. So you have your personal side, which I want you to address this week. And then you have your product or service. What needs does it fulfill? Because your goal as a persuader, as you look at your prospect, they have where they want to be and where they are. Sometimes they don't know where they want to be. They just don't know. They don't like where they are right now. So your goal is to help them see how to get where they want to be from where they are, solving that problem, giving them a solution, fulfilling that need. And then you become, a top persuader. And for some, if you look at a home-based business, it might be the financial thing. It might be the social thing and interacting, being around other people. It might be the need to spend more time with their children. It might need the need to get back and start learning and growing, because people, a lot of people get stagnant. We talk about intellectual and personal development. They've worked at a job for 10 years. They really haven't learned much or done much, and they tend to stagnate when they start learning and growing, and it really does amazing things for their psyche and their demeanor. All right, so that's what I wanted to work on, your personal side, your self-persuasion, and then figure out which one or two is the need that it fulfills for your product or service. Any questions about either what we talked about today or things that you're running into that I can help you out with? So does that mean question about recording? The recording is always going to be posted at whywhypersuasion.com. Just click on recording. It's also a place to ask questions now or in the future. That's a place that you can go and take a look at. We'll post that. Give us at least 24 hours to post that. We had some technical difficulties last week, but looks like we are back on track. Somebody asked a question about physical. And it doesn't matter. We won't say names here. Now, they said, does physical health help or hurt, or does it matter in your ability to persuade? Now, we know it matters with your balance. But interesting, I mentioned charisma. That's probably why you're asking this. Charismatic people, which are highly influential, do have good health. Now, when you're sucking life and energy out of people, that hurts your ability to persuade. But probably the biggest thing we're always worried about and thinking about is weight. You know, I've had to think about that too. Dr. harps on you. I travel a lot. I actually do pretty good when I don't travel. Traveling's the hard part for me to find time to exercise, even though I really do enjoy exercising. But the core of this question is weight. Weight affects your lifetime earnings. Weight affects your ability to influence. I'm not saying that it's right, especially for women. Women, again, it's not fair. Women more than men, when you look at it, like corporate world, it affects their promotions and their lifetime's earnings when they are 20% over their target weight, which would probably be your BMI, something around there. You have to be careful. Now, men, it doesn't affect as much, but it does affect. There is a factor there with weight because it does affect your energy level and how people judge you. Again, sometimes we can help, but sometimes we can't. You know, height. You know, most CEOs are over 6 foot. There's something about height and influence, too. Again, that's not something that you can fix. Maybe weight is or is not. That's something that you need to decide. But based on your question, yes, it does affect your alignment personally, but it does affect that instant judgment or credibility when you meet with people. And so that's a great question. But it does. That's part of it. If you want to know more about connectivity and attraction, that would be in the law of connectivity and magnetic persuasion. You can learn more about that. Question is, how can you learn more about this? Well, we talk about life alignment in a couple spots. The main one would be Millionaire Psychology, where we go into more about how millionaires think and what they do and how they act. But health is definitely one of those. Any other questions? Over the phone, your computer, I will take them. Got a question about personal development. Kurt, should I read books or listen to CDs? My answer is yes. Absolutely. When kids are going, I get my car, it's personal development time. My little iPod that I jog with has no music. It's all instruction. It's all personal development. It's funny when people ask what I'm listening to. You know, I might be listening, learning anything from tax liens to more on sales and negotiation. I'm an avid learner. It's made such a big difference in my life. I learned this early from Brian Tracy when I was out selling some of his seminars. But here's kind of how it works. Let me just give you the blunt truth as an author. Okay, I write books. That's what I do. The challenge with a book, and you should read every day, there's just something that it does. But the challenge with a book, there's only a 1% chance that you'll actually finish a book. I mean, think about the piles of books that you have, that you'll finish a book and apply one thing from it. But there's still something about reading and what you do remember, what you do retain. So you still need to do it. You learn more from the audio and the CDs in your car, but then you can't learn to play basketball from a CD or a book. And it's a great start. It's a great foundation. You're learning the rules, but then from there you're looking at maybe seminars. There's just something. You know, I love teaching seminars, but I also love going to seminars because there's synergy. There's magic. There's you're learning from other people. There's those ideas that are coming to you. And then, of course, mentoring with other people is all part of that too. You should always, and here's the thing of successful people, you should always mentor with someone every month, and you should get mentored. This is what I mean. You know, every month, I choose someone to mentor, and I get mentored from somebody else. That's how it works. You have your expertise. You know what you do. Mentor somebody, and then you find someone to mentor you. That's kind of how the cycle works when talking about personal development. So I would still read. You know, I have a book in the car, a book by the bed, audios in the car. There's a variety of things that you can do. You can't go to seminars every day. I mean, go to webinars or conference calls. It's a little easier, but try to get to, you know, a couple seminars a month, not a month, but a year. That is very, very helpful, not only for the people you meet, but for what you learn. There's just something about it. But try to, between a combination of all those things, try to average. I would try to average at least a half hour a day. Any other questions? All right. Thanks for being on the call. I will post the recording at ywhypersuasion.com. If there's something specific you're running into that you didn't want to bring up, just send me an email on that website. Be happy to talk about it, answer your questions, or there's a topic that you want to find in the audios or you want me to talk about, I'm more than happy to do that. That's what I'm here for. So work on your life alignment this week. Remember, persuade, better physical, intellectual, social, spiritual, financial, and emotional, and you'll see a big difference in your motivation and what you're able to accomplish. So we had a little self-persuasion today and a regular persuasion to keep you on track. So thanks for being on the call. Look forward to talking to you next week. Everyone have an awesome week, and we'll talk to you same time next Wednesday. Good night, everyone.